This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. When Jesus had risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told his companions, who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. After this, he appeared in another form to two of them walking along on their way to the country. They returned and told the others, but they did not believe them either. But later, as the 11 were at table, he appeared to them and rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had been raised. He said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The Gospel of the Lord. You may have heard some rumor or reporting in the news that the Pope said there is no hell. Wouldn't that be nice? Let me clarify those comments by providing a little context. On Holy Thursday, March 29th, Pope Francis had a private conversation with an Italian reporter, Eugenio Scalfari, a 93-year-old self-professed atheist and a friend of the Pope. That conversation was intended to be not to be an interview for public consumption. But that did not sway Scalfari from publishing an article the following day based on his recollections of that conversation. He did not tape it, and he did not take notes. According to Scalfari, he asked Pope Francis, "What happens to the souls of sinners when they died?" And again, according to Scalfari, his recollection, the Pope answered, "They're not punished. Those who repent obtain forgiveness and enter the ranks of those who contemplate God. But those who don't repent and can't be forgiven disappear. A hell doesn't exist. What exists is the disappearance of sinning souls." On the surface, those words certainly seem controversial and contradict Catholic teaching. Hence, the Vatican quickly denied the Pope made those comments, saying it was merely the fruit of Scalfari's own reconstruction. Nonetheless, since it was put in print, not a few people believed it. Maybe some even secretly hope there is no hell. Instead of debating the authenticity of the Pope's comments, let me list five things Catholics believe about hell. First of all, no one taught the truth about hell in the New Testament more than Jesus himself. Take perhaps the most dramatic example of the Last Judgment in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus returns in his glory and separates all humanity with the sheep on his right who go to heaven and the goats on his left who go to eternal punishment, says Matthew chapter 25, verse 46. To deny the existence of hell would empty our Lord's teaching of much of its most compelling content. Secondly, the Catechism of the Catholic Church is emphatic on the existence of hell. We read, "The teaching of the Church affirms the existence of hell and its eternity." The Catechism continues, "Immediately after death, the souls of those who die in a state of mortal sin descend into hell, where they suffer the punishments of hell, eternal fire." To deny the existence of hell would be tantamount to saying the Holy Spirit has misguided the magisterium of the Church on a basic belief. Furthermore, it would throw egg in the face of the saints and the scholars who taught this truth for 2,000 years. Thirdly, what do we celebrate during Holy Week but Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection? But why should our Lord have to suffer such torments if he was not saving us from something as terrible as hell? If the souls of sinners simply disappeared after death, why be whipped by cords, spit upon by soldiers, humiliated by being stripped naked, rejected by your own people, and finally nailed to a tree? Denying the existence of hell makes a mockery of our Lord's passion and death, as if he died for nothing. Fourthly, Jesus' final command to his apostles are recorded in today's gospel. He said, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." The apostles testified to the gospel, not only with their words and their actions, but also by their death. St. Peter was crucified upside down. St. Andrew was crucified in the shape of an X. St. Paul was beheaded. St. Bartholomew was skinned alive. And so forth. Would it make much sense that they would suffer these tortures like Jesus did if there were no terrifying consequences for unbelief? In other words, one reason the gospel is such good news is because it saves us from the bad news of the eternal consequences of our sins, namely hell. What motivated the apostles was not only the hope of heaven, but also the fear of hell. Fifthly and finally, a word about the Pope's power, or rather, the limits of his power. Catholic Christians do not believe the Pope is omnipotent, all-powerful, nor do we believe that he is omniscient, all-knowing, but rather he is an infallible instrument when he teaches authoritatively on matters of faith and morals. That infallibility does not apply when he is having a casual conversation over a glass of Chianti with a friend whom he's trying to help love the Lord. The Pope's primary purpose is to safeguard the deposit of faith and to be a sign of the unity of the Church. As he fulfills one function, he cannot forget the other. In the end, we can liken the Pope's power to something like a newspaper reporter. The old adage teaches, a good newspaper man only reports the story. He does not create it. That's something our friend Mr. Scalfari would do well to remember. Praised be Jesus Christ.